This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. And of course, you know, from Rose Rotation and all kinds of other great things. Hi, Chris. How are you? What's going on, man?
Christopher.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Feel it? Can you feel it? It's baseball eve, man. The excitement.
Yes, it is. Let's go. Ready. We are ready.
How you feel about your Guardians?
I feel okay about them. Very tough division. I think it's probably, to be honest with you, I think it's the toughest one to pick. Because I think you could make an argument for four teams, and I don't think you can do that elsewhere. So it's going to be a challenge, revamping the right side of the infield on the fly. We know what Carlos Santana is, even though he's just about to turn 39. He's still a good baseball player. But you're getting rid of two guys who were, key components of a club. And second base is a huge question mark. And even after the Nolan Jones trade, right field's a big question mark. So there's a... And our rotation is a big question mark. So there's a lot going on here. I didn't expect us to win 90-plus games a year ago and win the division and make the ALCS. So I think hopefully we'll be pleasantly surprised again.
Chris, I thought the Nolan Jones trade was interesting. I saw your assessment of the trade on social media. I wonder this. You traded something that your organization doesn't produce a lot of for a middle infielder when you had a glut of middle infielders, and then You turn around and get them back by trading from your glut of middle infielders. And I wonder what inspired them to do that at this time based on the fact that they gave up on them 2 years ago.
Because this is how the Guardians do things. They're not going to be paying top dollar for a guy who could be an outfield lottery ticket, right? If he turns into what he was in 2023, then that's a huge upgrade in right field. I think we all like Will Brennan a lot. I love him personally. John Kenzie Noel is an intriguing figure out there, but that is not a highly productive spot for us. And so the Guardians take a guy in Tyler Freeman who I think it's wonderful to have guys that are utility players that you can plug them in at multiple positions and feel good about doing that. I don't know if we have a guy on the roster like that right now. Like Daniel Schneeman, he's shaky at several positions. You put him in the outfield, he doesn't look like an outfielder. You put him in the infield, he doesn't look like a great infielder. Like Freeman was solid. So in that standpoint, he did a really, really good job.
He was good in center too, wasn't he? Yeah, I thought Tyler did a nice job in center.
Yeah, I mean, his routes to the ball, it was like when the GPS gives you a new route, would you like to save 4 minutes? So it was a little bit all over the place. but the completion of the play is what matters.
Yeah.
And so he did that, and I thought for a guy who never played that position in Little League, travel ball, high school, or the minor leagues, and had to literally learn on the fly at the major league level, was awesome. I thought it was great. But this is what we do. You know, we take flyers on guys like Nolan Jones and hope that it turns into something, hope that you get the production of a $15 million ball player for significantly less.
Chris, let's talk about your guy, Stephen Vogt, for a second. I'm curious, what do you think he learned in that first year, and how will he be a better manager in his sophomore season?
Yeah, hopefully he learned not to pitch to Stanton in the ALCS, so I'll take that.
Wow.
And I'll sign up for it right now if that's the situation we're facing. You know, I think he probably just learned, my guess is, how to lead a little bit better and not worry about what other people think. I think that's probably the hardest part of the job, you know, because he's so close to having been a player.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a couple seasons ago where he was still in that batter's box. And players know when managers mean business. They also know when they're full of BS. They know when they're, you know, when they don't care in some cases, and that's not the case with Stephen Vogt. He cares. I think he's got a really, really good connection with guys. And I thought for a first-year manager that he wasn't really searching for an identity. But I imagine it's probably just solidifying what he believes in, and that there were probably times where maybe he asked for a little too much help from guys. I'm guessing here. I don't know this for a fact. So I'm just throwing it out there. And that's a tendency that young guys have, when they have such respect for other people on their staff. And while it is a collaborative effort, you're the last line of defense. Make your call. When he went out there last year, and we all remember it well, the Tanner Bibee game where he went out there, I think it was against the Twins, you know, that was his call. So eventually, and I hope we see more of that this year.
Chris Rose joining us. The one thing that I was fascinated, and Stephen, of course, a former catcher, at the way he used his bullpen last year. And maybe, Chris, how often he used the same guys in the bullpen. I mean, he had a lot of guys with big numbers and appearances. Was that okay? I know it worked beautifully. Is that okay moving in this year?
Well, sure, it's okay as long as their arms don't fall off.
Well, now there's that, isn't there?
Right. And yeah. We talked about this recently on this show, was that, because he asked me how big a concern the starting rotation was. You know, the rotation, it's more than just, well, those guys get knocked around. When those guys get knocked around, that means other people have to pick up innings. And there's, you can't have a ton of innings on these guys' arms. And that's the key. I don't think it's so much the appearances, but the number of high-stress innings that guys end up throwing, because at some point that does catch up with you. It just does. And so I hope that, you know, I would love to see a little more length out of our rotation and not be so dependent. You know, everybody talks about it. Well, when you get to Cleveland's sixth inning, the game's over. That's awesome in October. You know, like, you can't be using that card in May and feeling good about it, because those guys will blow out eventually.
All right, let's talk football, my friend. Where do you think the Browns stand now with quarterback, and where do you think that? What do you think the quarterback room is going to look like when they go to open camp? I'll even give you open camp. So, where do you think they're sitting, and what would you like to see them do?
I've told you this. I still think that Kirk Cousins is in play.
Okay.
You know, Atlanta, just they don't have a lot of picks. I think they've got three in the first six rounds, something like that, I want to say. Is that possible?
Well, let me backtrack on Kirk Cousins there for a second. If the Browns, uh-huh. Is it dependent on what the Browns do at two for Kirk Cousins? Because he is holding some cards on the no trade. If the Browns go Abdul Carter at two, then yeah, I think that it's possible. But if they go Shedeur Sanders at two, I could easily say, I've already seen this game before.
Right. And then that's very possible. But I also don't think he wants to be there, period. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if they're saying, they have come out and said, Michael Penix is our starter, which is different than, well, this rookie might have a chance to play at some point this year. He might not like it if he gets pulled 8 games in. But, you know, he sees it. He's doing the math. How many places right now does he legitimately have a chance to start right now? How many?
Valid. Not many.
Not many. Mm-hmm. They already got 2 veterans up there in New York. Minnesota, maybe that happens, but I don't
know. Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, I mean, you know, there's a lot of people that think that Aaron Rodgers on McAfee's show that he's doing in Pittsburgh, that he's going to walk out on stage and announce he's signed with the Steelers. Like, that would be perfect Aaron Rodgers if he did that.
And so not Mike Tomlin. So not Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, but, you know, that doesn't matter. So where else can he play? I mean, how many other places have openings? There are just not that many. But getting back to at 2, you know, we need a quarterback on a friendly contract. We just do. So whether you do that at 33 and you're going to take a huge swing for a guy that, who knows, could be Will Levis in 2 years. He was taken with the first pick of the second round. Or could turn into a legit 10-year starter. Who knows? I've gotten it in my brain. This is the way I'm wrapping it up. Shador is not perfect. There are some issues, I think, that will become more compounded at this level, right? He's not a great athlete. He doesn't have an amazing arm. But he does do some things exceptionally well, that particularly when you pair him with the right offense and, more importantly, the right play caller and coach, that you can do more than get by with him, that you could win a bunch of games with him. It kind of gets us back to where we were with Baker Mayfield. Different quarterbacks, I always felt like you could win games with him. Could you win a Super Bowl with him? That's another question. Mm-hmm. But we're back to the can we win enough games with a guy stage. And I didn't think we were going to be there, but that's where we are. And I do think we could win games with Shador Sanders.
The trouble with Cousins is, as you mentioned, if the Browns do something and he doesn't like it, you know, he can use his no trade clause. With that thought in mind, do the Browns need to bring in one of these remaining free agents, or could you go into the season with, or into the off season, I guess, in the, you know, like mandatory camps and everything else, with Kenny Pickett and whoever you draft and whatever else you put in that quarterback room?
Well, I mean, Kenny Pickett, we all have bad thoughts about him from this standpoint. Like, we saw him, what he did in Pittsburgh, and don't give me the whole, well, he's got a winning record thing. He was on a really good franchise, right? But I do think that Kenny Pickett is a viable backup quarterback. The Eagles thought that he was,
mm-hmm.
right? He was good enough to be the backup quarterback.
On a Super Bowl contender. Super Bowl, yeah.
On a Super Bowl winner.
Yep.
So, like, I'm fine with him being the number 2. And then if we're really sitting here discussing the number 3 quarterback, let's focus on number 1. Like, whoever number 3 is number 3. There's a bunch of guys that rotate from team to team, and sometimes they get a shot at eventually growing into the second string quarterback. Like Tanner McKee, the guy that was the third string quarterback for Philly, I think he's going to be their backup this year. I don't think it's DTR. I think he's their backup. But the fans in Philly aren't sitting there saying, well, who's the third quarterback? You know, like, that's not where they are in their process. We shouldn't be there in that either.
All right, Chris, last question for me, because I'm a big gift giver. I like to give away, you know, the holidays are coming up, Passover and Easter. This is, you know, everyone exchanges gifts like that. And I'm looking online for a nice gift, and I'm looking at the Chris Rose Rotation T-shirts that are available. What is the number one seller on this JohnBoyMedia.com site? You have so many. I particularly like the Chris Rose Football Show, the head-to-head T-shirt. I'm just curious. You tell me, what is the number one seller of Chris Rose T-shirts right now?
Well, that's a wonderful question. I don't know, but it is shop.johnboymedia.com.
Yes.
And actually, the Chris Rose Rotation T-shirt is a collector's item now.
Oh, it is.
Because Yeah, the show has been rebranded. It is called Dugout Discussions with Chris Rose. Oh. We're actually taking it to the field. So we're not doing Zoom interviews anymore. The interviews themselves are shorter, so they're like 10 to 12 minutes. Our first episode just dropped with Bobby Witt Jr. We've got Mike Trout coming out next week. We've got Tarek Skubal of the Tigers, the Cy Young Award winner, right after that. And so whenever teams come out to Dodger Stadium or Angel Stadium, I'm going to interview Star. But also we have these cute little segments where my wife is involved. It's called Questions with the Queen.
I have seen
it. You got to go check it out.
Yes.
Yeah. And they're fun little questions. Like one of them that just happened was, what was your first job? And we got some amazing answers on guys' first jobs. And we just kind of splice them together. We talked to like 7 or 8 guys from every team. The Guardians are prominently featured in the first episode. Bieber's in it. McKenzie's in it. Kwan is in it. Stephen Vogt is in it. So there's a ton of guys. And they'll be appearing throughout the year as I ask them different questions. So it's kind of fun. It gets a lot of teams involved. And it's a quicker paced show. So go give it a look on our JM Baseball YouTube page. Or you can just follow us at me at Chris Rose. I always retweet all our stuff.
Chris, I have 10 seconds. What was your first job in Northeast Ohio?
I was a ball boy for the Cleveland Browns.
That was your first job? Good for you.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a hell of a first job.
Man.
I'd imagine.
Good job, Chris.
Yep.
We're proud of you.
Thanks.
Look how far you've come. Our little Chris has come so far. All right, Chris.
Hey, man. Our OC was a ball boy for the Browns. Tommy Reese.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When Dad was working for the team.
Look at that.
There you go.
What a small world. Chris, all right, we're all over it. Thank you. We always appreciate your time.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, boys. Take care.
Peace.